This is your update from Columbia Faith and Values. We're Mid-Missouri's source for religion news. I'm Kelly Moore. Here's a big question to think about. What is the future of faith? That question, specifically as it relates to Christianity, is at the heart of a big conversation happening in Columbia this weekend with Dr. Phyllis Tickle. Tickle is the founding editor of the religion department at Publishers Weekly, and she's written more than 24 books. One of them is called The Great Emergence, and it explores what Christianity has been, where it is now, and where it could be headed. As Tickle sees it, Christianity is due for a major transformation, potentially something as big as the Protestant Reformation. I spoke with her on the phone before her visit to find out more. The topic of the weekend is, what is the future of faith? Obviously, that's a huge question, but could you give me a taste of what you'll be talking about?
Absolutely. The future of faith is a huge title. And let's be honest, none of us really knows exactly. I think the best we can do is look at history and see what history teaches us about what has happened to the faith as it has moved through these evolving eras. And certainly about every 500 years, we go through one of these major shifts, or at least those of us who are within Latinized Christianity go through. The 16th century, 500 years ago, was the Great Reformation. 500 years before that was the 11th century and the Great Schism, or schism, according to how you learn to say it. 500 before that, it was the 6th century and the Great Decline and Fall. And 500 before that, it was the 1st century, the Great Transition, or the Great Transformation. Scholars use both terms. And that's not to say that that's not a predictive kind of recognition. It's just a descriptive one that we've been here before and done this. Every time we go through one of these things, everything is up for grabs, and it's not just religion that comes into play. It's the whole of society. For us, it's obviously the web and electronics and information theory that tripped this one. For the Reformation, it was, in many ways, the printing press and the advances in science that enabled it and that made a change in the society in which Christianity functioned. Well, in the same way, this one is vastly changing the society in which Christianity is functioning, and Christianity has to change or to accommodate. That doesn't mean it changes its core message or it changes its thrust. That's not true. It changes its packaging or its presentation, if you will, or its emphases. Protestantism isn't going to die. Every time we've gone through one of these things, whatever held hegemony or whatever held pride of place has had to reconfigure in order to accommodate the contextualizing changes around it. But it's never died. One of the things that I think Inherited Church is going to have to deal with first, and I may say so, is this kind of paranoia or absolutely paralyzing fear that, oh my goodness, we're not going to be here in 50 years. That's, historically, that's completely without foundation.
What are some of the big questions you see as central to moving forward?
Every time we go through one of these things, there's always one central question that is the same, regardless of whether it's the Reformation or the Schism, it doesn't matter. And that question is, where now is the authority? Or put more crudely, who's calling the shots? Or as emergence Christians prefer to say, how now shall we live? It's all the same question.
A little earlier you mentioned technology, the printing press during the Reformation and the internet today. What are some of the ways that today's technology has played into the shifting dynamics of Christianity?
It has led to identification amongst us that's not geographic and is not familial, which has led to the breakdown, clearly, of the very conservative and conservatory village or small group or family unit that gave the individual both his or her values and his or her patterns and his or her ambitions and aims to a large extent. Technology also, and I think maybe this one has not been appreciated as fully or touted as much, maybe. It has meant that every man and every woman can be his or her own expert. All of the theological groups and the doctrinal groups on the web, all of the people who are going forth and doing their own exegesis without benefit of clergy, all of the practicing clergy now, and their number increases almost every day, who are ordained within their communities but without any formal seminary training. It's a great time to be alive. It's not for those who are of weak constitution, but for those who are a strong constitution, It's a wonderful time to be alive. And for those of us who are 80 and about to get off the bus, it's a fascinating time because we're going to be made invulnerable to some extent. We're not going to be around long enough to live with the consequences of what's happening, and we can watch with a certain impunity, which is, of course, the position from which I'm coming, whether I want to or not.
That was a conversation with Phyllis Tickle, the founding editor of the Religion Department at Publishers Weekly and the author of more than 24 books. She's visiting Columbia this weekend and began her speaking engagements this afternoon. For more information about when and where you can see her talk tomorrow, go to ColumbiaFaithAndValues.com. We started this segment with a big question: what is the future of faith? Now we shift our focus to a more personal one. What do you believe? Columbia Faith and Values recently asked community members to write about their beliefs for our poetry contest. We received 40 entries from around the state, and winners were announced on Sunday at a poetry reading. You'll be hearing several of the award-winning entries right here on KBIA in the next several weeks. First place in the adult division went to Timothy Carson, who is the senior pastor of Broadway Christian Church here in Columbia.
I believe God is, regardless of what I believe. I believe what I believe changes year by year. I believe God comes whether I call or not. I believe my turning point was being believed in. I believe, but I trust more, and that has made the difference.
And here is the first place poem from our youth division. It's called God Will Guide Me, and it was written by 10-year-old Brandon Kim.
I believe God will guide me even when I'm climbing a tree. God will guide me when I'm being chased by bees. God will guide me when I'm having fun. God will guide me when I'm shooting a paintball gun. God will guide me when I'm playing somebody in a school play. God will guide me to be ready for when I have to pay for all the sins I make every day. God will guide me when I'm in heaven and met by an angel named Kevin. God will guide me when I'm trying to cook, when I'm fishing and a fish bites the hook. God will guide me when I'm going through my math book.
That wraps up this week's Faith and Values update. You can find more stories, commentaries, and more at ColumbiaFaithAndValues.com. I'm Kelly Moore. Thanks for listening.